At the beginning of the season, you spoke of varied programs and of making everyone feel welcome. How do you think the season has gone, both musically and non-musically?
Well, I would say it's a season that went beyond my wildest dreams or expectations, because we're committed now that the Philadelphia Orchestra reconnects with every Philadelphian. And this has to start, of course, and based on the electricity that we have on stage. And we see our audiences responding to it very much. Full houses, people buying tickets also when I'm not there. And seeing that the relationship with the orchestra, between the orchestra and myself, is growing, even in weeks when I'm not conducting. When I come back and do the same works with them after a few weeks, like it was the case, for example, with Shostakovich 5 that we did in January, and a few weeks later we had to do another project with the Shostakovich 5th. It felt like it was growing, even if we had not been working. So that's fantastic. But also, it's to feel that this message is relayed even more throughout the city now and beyond. So by great reviews in the New York Times, also recordings for Deutsche Grammophon, which we just started as a connection. And I would say also the fact that we can be with your listeners now. And thanks to WRTI, I think this is really that the buzz that I think is in the city now is spread as the great word even more. For every citizen. So I feel we're really on the right track.
You've had some terrific programs, some of which you've had to change at the last minute. For example, that program where you stepped in at the last minute.
Yes, well, how likely is that I could step in at the last second with the kind of schedule that I have? But it was great I could do it. And I'm mindful in my own relationships with the orchestra and the audience that what I want to bring is sometimes lesser known corners of the repertoire that the orchestra has not been performing and have not been exposed to recently. For example, the St. Matthew Passion, which was a great success and also a great shock, even I think, for the musicians of the orchestra to perform this for the first time for most of them. But also I want to make sure that I present things that I believe in and that are part of my background. So Bach is one, but when there was this example when I had to fill in for Jaap van Zweden, who was ill the first week, the Transfigured Night of Schoenberg is a piece I conducted only once in my life and many years ago. So I didn't want to go and rush this and make a work with the orchestra that I was not completely confident. So it's important for me to have this road, which is a hopefully very long term road anyway with the orchestra, and that every step is at the right place and time.
The May 24th live broadcast, you changed it to honor Wolfgang Sawallisch.
Yes, that was a terribly sad moment, of course, because of its significance and importance, that Maestro Sawallisch passed away recently. And when this happened, we actually were doing a series of concerts, and we decided to change the opening piece, which was a Bach Stokowski, and change it to Siegfried Idol of Wagner, because as we all know, Sawallisch was a fantastic interpreter of Wagner, and the way the musicians played this tribute was something I will never forget in my life. This is when we feel that music can transport us and can contain emotions that spoken words cannot begin to express. In the same way, we wanted to do formally a tribute now, and because of many reasons, this final program of the season was the most appropriate, because Sawallisch was a great interpreter of Brahms and a lover of Brahms. He was one of the early champions of Gil Shaham, our wonderful soloist. So it's only fitting that Gil is with us. And we decided to change the program. We wanted to finish the program with some Enescu, and I'm still committed to do that wonderful rhapsody. But there was a piece of music which Sawallisch always told the players it was his favorite movement, and it's the Adagio from Schumann Symphony Number 2. And as we know, he did a lot of Schumann with the orchestra here, and it's true that it might be one of the most gorgeous pieces of music ever written for orchestra. So we will open this as a direct tribute to his legacy. This was also initially a program which I designed in tribute to the one whom we are paying tribute to also the whole season, Stokowski, who was always programming differently than what we do now. It was never overture, concerto, intermission, and then symphony. It was always a symphony in the first half, smaller pieces after. The way I like to think is an appetizer and first course, then the main dish and the dessert at the end somehow. So, I would say that I'm honoring two of my famous predecessors with that program.
So that's an example of your contrasting styles, perhaps, or introducing the audience to things that music they may not have heard.
I think a program is to have it shed a light on a different aspect of even well-known works. The Brahms Violin Concerto is a well-known piece. We perform it almost every season, and it's normal. It's one of the greatest ones. But if the Brahms Violin Concerto is combined with a Brahms Symphony, this is one thing, which we often see. If it's combined with the Hungarian aspect of the third movement, the finale of the concerto, which is a dance which is similar to the Slavonic dance of Dvorak, which in its turn is influencing the music rooted in tradition of Janáček. And we had this Schumann at the beginning was influencing Brahms. Hopefully, it will shed a new light on the Brahms Violin Concerto, the same way as it might make people discover or rediscover Janáček, which is less often performed.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.